Parshas Dvarim, Tavshin Ayin Tes, Shabbos Chazon. Okay.
What's Chazon?
Chazon, that's the beginning of the Av Torah. Chazon Yishayahu. Okay. Let's take a look. All right, it says, in our Parsha, in Perek Aleph, in Dvarim, and say, Echa Esa Levadi Torchachem Masachem V'rivchem. How will I bear, right, alone, your Rav David Torchachem? No, this is Torchachem Tircha, your difficult nature.
For example, let's think about it.
Okay, right, called masachem, your burden, v'rivchem, and your quarrelsomeness, right? That's what it says in Dvarim, in our Parsha. Parsha Dvarim is always the Parsha of Shabbos Chazon, of Chazon Yishayahu, right? Of the last of the three Haftorahs of Calamity. Above, we have three Haftorahs of Calamity. They're called the Gimel de Puranusa, the three Haftorahs of Calamity, right? Divrei Yirmiyahu, Shimu Dvar Hashem, and Chazon Yishayahu. Right? Chazon Yishayahu. And we've mentioned before that the idea, Tzadok talks about the three Haftorahs are built upon the unraveling of the Jewish personality. When a person speaks, like for instance the Meraglim did, they spoke not based upon what they saw, but rather they created a false reality through their speech. So when a person speaks, right, with an unfettered tongue, right, tongue, right? So then what happens is he's shmiya. He doesn't hear things properly. He doesn't analyze things properly. In other words, he's talking incorrectly. He doesn't hear things properly. And then afterwards, chazon, he doesn't even see things properly. Those are the three calamities, right? How a world, person's world, the world unravels.
So that chazon was a fish.
I don't.
Is that a fish that the Techelos comes from? Is a chazon?
That's a chilazon. Chilazon. Yeah. It's a mollusk. Right? That's what happens when you do a lot of push-ups.
It's like a fish.
You get a lot of mollusks. At any event. So what do you call it? So, yeah, chazon is a vision. Jose is a, what do you call it? It's a vision.
Vision.
Right?
Fish.
At any event. So what do you call it? So that's the unraveling of the Jewish personality. Right? Divrei, Shimu.
What does that mean, unraveling your Jewish personality?
Recall, a Jewish person, right, has a correct way in the way he conducts himself in the world. He has the Torah way of analyzing things in the world. And he has the Torah way of seeing things in the world. A person, as it were, however, who just shoots off at the mouth, right? Not properly speaking, which is what the Meraglim did, right? That's why this is things we talked about before. That's why in Eicha, in three out of the four Prakim that are in the order of the Aleph Beis, right, the Pei becomes for the Ayin, which is out of order. It should be Ayin Pei, right? You see and then you speak based upon what you've seen. But when you create a false reality, you speak first and then afterwards, ultimately, you see something different. So the idea is that first they spoke incorrectly, then when you don't have this something necessarily clear in front of you, but you need to analyze it, but you analyze it in a crooked fashion, right? That's shimu, right? Shmiya is always an analytical process because shmiya, person's hearing, is what he called, he realizes his perception of it is that he is putting together different sounds. You don't see it at all at one time. In seeing, you see something all at once. You don't see a cheekbone, a lip, nose, what do you call eyebrows, separately and put them together. God forbid a person sees like that, so he needs to see a neurologist, right? But what do you call it? He sees all one gestalt. I understand the brain is always interpreting everything, both one seeing and one hearing. The brain is responsible for it. But the speed of the way a person perceives something that he sees is different than the way he understands something that he hears. In understanding, it's always serial, right? It's what you call one after the other. You're putting together the syllables and that are making those, or making the words which make the sentences and the paragraphs, right, and the entire stories, etc. So the dibur, right, the kilkel and the dibur, right, results in a person not analyzing things properly. His shmiya becomes mikulkeles, becomes ruined, and then ultimately his seeing, what he sees in front of me, two people say two completely different things, right? We talked about this before, just as long as we got onto the point. Yeah, the Rikul, I remember I have a chavrus of many years at Tzadik Yesod Olam, right? He would walk into the Beis Medrash and he would see everybody learning, right? And he would say, look how beautiful everybody is learning Hashem's Torah. And he was such a sincere person. He is such a sincere person. It's not possible for him to have anything false emanate from his mouth. Now, lots of people could come in and see the exact same scenario, and one person could say, If they're cynical, let's say a bunch of fakers, a bunch of shiny pants bozos, right? They recall they're not really doing it. Or if they're more caught up and they're not quite as cynical, they'll say, "What a din here! I'll never be able to concentrate. It's too noisy," right? Or the next person will say, "You know, if he really wants to get crass, he'll say, my goodness, there's so many people here today. I'll never get a piece of schnitzel for lunch." Right? You know, four people seeing the exact same thing and four people interpreting it four different ways. Right, there's a total way to interpret it, and then there's, you know, from the sublime to the ridiculous in the world of non-Torahic way to understand it. So in any event, so what do you call, so those, the, that's the Haftorah that we're at, and that's our Parsha. Dvarim is always linked with Chazon.
Oh, yeah.
Dvarim. Parsha's Dvarim is always Shabbos Chazon.
Right.
That's the way the, what do you call it, that's the way it's set up. Again, you've got the dibur, if you want to say, what do you call it, the first words are Eilat Dvarim, right? Yeah, and what do you call it, and then when Chazon is the, what do you call it, is the vision of things. That's the Haftorah. So at any event, so what does it say? It says in what we call in our parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Echa esalavadi." So with that we said, right? How can I bear all of this? Yishayahu, right? The Navi in Chazon Yishayahu. I'm sorry, right? Chazon Yishayahu, right? In Chazon Yishayahu, right? Can't be picky. Right? In Chazon Yishayahu. So what does it say? It says, "Echa yashva badad." How is it? Yeah. That what he called that she sits alone in Yerushalayim, sits alone, Yeshua Badad, Ha'ir Abasi Am, the city that once was filled with people, now it's desolate. Ha'isa Kalmana, she's now like a widow. Rabasiba Goyim, Sarasiba Medinos, Ha'isala Mas, right, called she's been, was great amongst the nations, and now she's given over as tribute, right? She's been, what he called, she's been trampled upon, right? How can this be? Right? That's an Eicha. That's an Eicha. That's the big quote. That's what he called the Eicha. I'm sorry, I skipped the pasuk. I was in the middle of the other one. Eicha Haisal Zona. The intermediate pasuk is the pasuk from our Aftorah, from Yishayahu. Eicha Haisal Zona Kiryah Nemana. How is she turned into a harlot? Right? The faithful city. Right? She was filled with justice before. Right? And now, what do you call it, filled with people with murderous intentions, or actual murderous, what do you call it, acts. Right? How can she go from a city of justice to a city of murder? So we've got three Eichas. Eicha, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Eicha Yishayahu says, right? And Eicha, which Yirmiyahu says. Says the Medrash, right? Eicha Yashua, Shloshin Yisabu, Beloshin Eicha, Moshe, Yishayahu, and Yirmiyah, right? Three, all prophesied with the same terminology, Eicha. Moshe Rabbeinu used the word Eicha in our Parsha. Yishayahu used the word Eicha in the first parak of Yishayahu, which is what we're going to read after Torah this week. And Rikomot Shabbos, we're going to read Eicha Yashva Badad, the Eicha of what he called of Yirmiyahu, and the Medrash says what he called that it's comparable to, right, a person who is witness, yeah, a person who is with the Shushbinim, right, who is like what he called the one who is, you know, who has been involved in making the match between the groom and the bride, right? The shushbin, the one who's is what he called, he's taking care of everything, he's involved in everything, he's involved in the shidduch, etc. The three different, as it were, shushbinim, all described, right, the Jewish people using the term Eicha. Moshe Rabbeinu, and they saw that he was a great woman we're talking about over here, right? That he was a great woman. That's the Jewish people. They're the woman. The Chassan is Kav Yochel or Bona Shalom. The Kala is Klal Yisrael. And three different Shushmin and three different leaders of the Jewish people who are serving, as it were, as the intermediary between the Chassan and the Kala, between the Bona Shalom and Rikot and Klal Yisrael, spoke about them and saw them in three different stages.
Where's Eicha and Yeshaya?
Here. Eicha Haisel Zona Yeshaya, right? So what do you call it? So Moshe Rabbeinu saw them what do you call it, at the time of their tranquility, right? After I saw them and during the receiving the Torah, right? Their entry into Eretz Yisrael, right? He guided them through 4 years. There was a Dor Dea, they were what we call a generation of incredible perception, understanding. They were heard Nasa and Nishma, you know, with their flesh and blood ears, right? At Har Sinai, etc. Right, very caught, and Yeshaya saw them bizman pachazusa, right? Rashi recalled the pachazusa means he saw them when they were acting in a disturbed fashion, in an inappropriate fashion. Eichel Zonish became like a harlot. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw them when in their stage of greatness, but already the seed there of the fall were already there, right? The seeds of the fall were already there. That's what we're going to discuss. The seeds of the fall were there, even though it wasn't apparent necessarily in the same way as what Yeshaya saw. Yeshaya saw them already where they were being over averus, right? They were abandoning the Torah, conducting themselves, what do you call it, with Gila Rayas, with Shichas Damim, with Avodah Zarah, etc. Right? He saw them like a Zona, right? An honorable woman, a great, what do you call it, a great, you know, a great woman, a woman of stature, a woman of serenity, a woman of, what do you call it, of honor, what do you call it, reduced to being like a harlot, right? And then finally, after the punishment comes, Nivlusa, what do you call it, when she's been disgraced, right, been tossed out of her house, as it were, because of the disgrace that she's brought upon herself, that's Yirmiyahu. We saw them, right? He says, Eicha Yashva Vadad, how desolate, how all alone she is now, right? Three stages. And they all use the word Eicha, right? All the words Eicha. How has this come about? In other words, the idea being, what do you call, we have to analyze, we have to see how this came about. How did it come about? How can you go from what they call Igra Rama, from the high roof of Bira Mikta, to the bottom of a desolate pit?
How many years was that?
I'm talking about the time of Matan Torah till the time of the destruction of the temple.
That's what, 20 generations? 10 generations?
I don't know how many we call it. How many is it?
952.
I think so. 952.
952 years.
Yeah, 952 years.
The Matthew
Mishanti. 10 generations. Right, but that's from the time they entered Israel. It's from the time they entered Israel. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying it's the end of the Israel. Right. Okay. So now. So
you've analyzed this in this one little paper. Rise and fall of the third verse.
That's a bit. Divrei Shimu Chazon. Okay.
I was doing very interesting. What was the difference between Hillel and Shammai? Do we hold by Hillel?
Right, we hold by Hillel. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing now, which is not on video.
Hillel, listen.
Okay. You get him in the ninth round. At any event, so what does he say here? So he's Chazon Yishayo. Right, Chazon Yishayo ben Amos, Asher Chaza al Yehuda Yushalayim Bimei Uzio Yosam Achaz Yichisio Malki. This is the first pasuk of the Haftorah. Next pasuk, the second pasuk, Shimu Shamayim VaAzinu Azini Oretz Ki Hashem Diber Banim Gidalti V'Romamti V'Heim Pashu Bi. Right, Shimu Shamayim, hear, right, O heavens, VaAzini Oretz, and pay attention, right, the Oretz Ki Hashem Diber. Hashem has spoken. Banim gidalti v'romamti, I raised, right, and uplifted my sons, my children, v'hema pashubi, and they have rebelled against me. So that's that's what Yishayahu says. So says the Sifrei, right, the Medrash on what he called, on Parshas Hazinu. Parshas Hazinu is what he called towards the end of Sefer Dvarim. There, where it says Hazinu Hashamayim Vadaberav Sishma Haaretz Imrei Pi, Moshe Rabbeinu says Hazinu, with regard to Shamayim, pay attention, right? What he called Shamayim, and Sishma Haaretz, and hear me, O land, Imrei Pi, the words that I say. So the verb of Hazana, right, LaHazin, to pay attention, right, are addressed towards the Shamayim, unlike Yishayahu, where the words, what do you call it, of Hazino, pay attention, are addressed to the Aretz. And Shimu, right, called by Moshe Rabbeinu, is used here, like from a distance, referred to the Aretz, whereas in Yishayahu, Shimu, right, which is hearing from a distance, is a reference to the Shamayim. And there's a different way to understand this, but that's what it calls. In other words, the idea of la'azin, like I'm talking to you right here, I'm asking you to be ma'azin, pay attention. Shimu, somebody's outside in the courtyard, say, hello, do you hear me? Right? So Shimu is what he called, is addressed to someone who's at a distance, right? And ha'azana, la'azin, is pay attention. You're right next to me, just what he called, can you focus? Right? Can you focus?
He's talking to God?
So no, he's talking to the Jewish Rikwadi. Again, Rikwadi, over here, in Parshas Hazinu, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to the heavens. Hazinu HaShamayim, pay attention, O heavens.
And right? Who's Yeshaya talking
to? Yeshaya is what he called, is also talking. He's talking to the heavens and to the earth. But each one, but he used, they use reverse verbs for heaven and earth. Yeshayahu uses Shmiah with regard to the Shemayim, and Hazana to the Oretz. Moshe Rabbeinu uses Hazana to the Shemayim, right, and Shmia to the Aretz, right, reverse. So the Medrash says, why is that, right? Lefishahaya rachok min Aretz. Moshe Rabbeinu was korov l'shamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was close to the heavens. Lefichach amar ha'azinu ha'shamayim. Therefore, he said, pay attention, O heavens. In other words, he's near the heavens. Right, he's near the heavens. Lefishahaya rachok min Aretz. He was distant from the earth. Earth, hear me, right? Not pay attention, because the earth was far away from him, right? Yishayahu, on the other hand, said he was closer, what he called, to the earth, so therefore he said,
who was closer?
Yishayahu.
Moshe?
Yishayahu.
Yishayahu was closer to the earth.
And that's why he said, what he called, Hazinu Aretz, Hazini Aretz.
Moshe was lofty and Yeshayahu.
Oh, so what he called, so that's the way that people are nearly understand it, right, is when Moshe Rabbeinu is higher, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is what he called, he's higher, he's close to the heavens, further away from the earth. Yeshayahu is what he called, is closer to the earth, further away from the heavens, etc. But the Gra says that's not the Pshat. The Gra says the Pshat is that what he called, they had two different responsibilities. Moshe Rabbeinu's job description was to bring Torah from Shamayim. That was his job description. He brought Torah from Shemayim. Moshe kibbel Torah miSinai, right? Right. Moshe was makabel the Torah Sinai. He bring it down to the earth. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is closer to the Shemayim. His job is to enter the Shemayim and bring the Torah to the earth, to send it down to the earth. Yishayahu, right, on the other hand, is what he called the world of Maisa, of action, of fulfillment of the mitzvos. After the Torah has been received, right? So his job description is to make sure that people follow, right? They keep the Torah of Moshe. They keep the Torah of Moshe. They fulfill the commandments the way they're supposed to do it. He's close to the world of mitzvos, of the fulfillment of the mitzvos. So therefore, he speaks to the Aretz from closeness, and he speaks to the heaven from distance. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to the heaven from closeness and speaks to the earth from distance. Right? And this is the relationship between Torah and mitzvos. Torah and mitzvos. In other words, when we are makabel the Torah, we're makabel a system that has both in it the world of understanding, right, of Torah, and the world of application called mitzvos. And there's a technique to learn how to be makabel the mitzvos as well. It's not just, you know, you learn and then you go through the pro forma act. There is a way to learn how to do mitzvos, just like there's a way to learn the ideas of the Torah. We say, for instance, in Birchas Kriya Shema at night, Avas Olam Beis Yisrael Amcha Havta Toru Mitzvos Chukim Mishpatim Osanu Limadata. What does that mean? Toru Mitzvos Hashem taught us, right? Avas Olam Beis Yisrael Amcha Havta. You loved your people. Torah U Mitzvos, right? Chukim Mishpatim or suddenly Maritza, you taught us. What do you mean you taught us? You taught us Torah. You told us to do mitzvos, right? You taught us mitzvos. Pretty cool. Like I heard from Rav Moshe Shapiro, the Chassadik, the Kodesh of Rachel, he said, what does that mean? This is like what he called, this is the Seder Eon, and this is the Seder Bekirus, and this is the Seder Halacha, right? It's pretty cool. There is an attitude, there's an approach of Torah, and there's an attitude, an approach to mitzvahs. In Torah, when a person learns Torah, right? So there's halaminas, there's maskanas, there's understanding, there's what does it mean? But just back and forth. In mitzvos, there is, this is what you have to do. Right? This is what you have to do. Again, it's really called based upon what you learn in the Torah, but l'maisa, it is really called, it is, we are a people of nasa v'nishma, that to be a commitment to the fulfillment of the Torah, right? And then through that we understand really more deeply what the basis of the mitzvahs are, right? Or what he calls the approach, we understand the process. So now, right? So that's what he calls. So that is the Moshe Rabbeinu's responsibility is bringing Torah from Shemayim down to the earth. Yeshayahu is indicting the Jewish people at a time when their fulfillment of the Torah, the world of mitzvahs, has fallen apart. And really what we're going to see over here is that when there's a flaw, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu, that's why the Medrash says, three use the Lashon Eicha. Mm-hmm. Three use Lashon Eicha. Moshe Rabbeinu used Lashon Eicha. Yeshayahu used Lashon Eicha. Yirmiyahu used Lashon Eicha. Right? And even though Moshe Rabbeinu, even though the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu, right, they're all three of them, as it were, the shushbinim, right, those who are there to take care and organize all the events of what he called of the wedding and the shidduch between the chassan and the kala, etc. Says Moshe Rabbeinu saw them at a time when they were in a state of repose, as it were, but there still was a fly in the ointment then. There was a fly in the ointment at the time of their repose, of their greatness, right? Which ultimately, unfortunately, it evolved and developed into what became what Yeshayahu saw afterwards, Eicha Haisa Lazona, how she's become a harlot, Eicha once again, and how Yirmiyah, after what she's been disgraced totally, so then Yirmiyah uses the same terminology. But it all emanated from what he called something that existed in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. There was a flaw there. Here, let's look over here. Also, once we got the first medrash on Parshas Devarim, also addresses l'chora the difference between Torah and mitzvos, between Torah and mitzvos. Eila Devarim halacha, right? Adam Yisrael, ma'ushia mutal or lichtov sefer Torah b'chol lashem. Tach shanu chachamim ein bein svarim l'tfilin u'mezuzos el shasvarim nichtavim b'chol lashem. Right. So now. Right, there's a difference between what you call. I mean, it's a medrash. It's a discussion on halacha. Also, the machlokes from Gamliel. Also, here too, we're not discussing that right now. What you call, you could write technically a sefer Torah in a different language, right? How that's applicable, whatever it is, yeah, whether it's Daf Yevanis or what you call it, any language, whatever. That's a discussion just on right. But it is conceivable. Whereas the medrash says, but tefillin and mezuzahs, right, has to be in Lashon HaKodesh. In other words, in the world of Torah, right, there's much expansiveness. Like I said, we entertain havaminas all the time, right, in the process of learning. Maybe this, maybe that, maybe this way, maybe that way. No, then the conclusion, etc. But the process is always, is spreading out, is never divergent, it's convergence. Is this the pshat? Is that the pshat? Is this the pshat? Is that the pshat? So as we knock them off one at a time, etc., because we can't prove it or we disprove it, etc., 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 so finally we could come to a conclusion, etc. But in mitzvahs, this is it. This is it. Pristine. This is the way you do the mitzvah. Again, the different minhagim, but what do you call? But it's not the same sort of thing. Hare Moshe, and continues the mention. Hare Moshe atchelo zocha l'torah k'siv lo ish dvarim anochi. Right, when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to try and bring the message of Hashem to Mitzrayim, he said, "I can't do it. I don't have the capacity to be able to bring the words of truth down to Mitzrayim. Right, a place of tumah, a place where the whole concept of speech was in Golus itself." The concept of speech, the usage of speech, because it all revolved around just an expression of me, myself, and I. It was so totally, totally all about me. Like the way it is now.
Speak, speak. I speak what I feel. I speak what I want to say. Speak this. Right? People speak like as though they were expectorating a piece of what are called a phlegm, right? Or worse, reverse peristalsis, etc. So they would call it. So that's the way people speak. But so much said, I can't communicate this to them. So Hashem says, don't worry. I'll be with you, right? I'll be with you. Lo ish drama nochi. Came to Zachal Torah, but once he received the Torah, and he taught it to the Jewish people, Nisrape Lashono, his tongue was healed, Hiskil Adaber Dvarim, he began to speak his own words, right? Words of Torah, he spoke words of Torah. The Shemi Shmuel says in the name of the Avnei Nezer, that the word Moshe Rabbeinu is Dvarim, here in Parshas Dvarim, right? His words in Parshas Dvarim are like what he called, are like the bridge between Torah Shebechtav and Torah Shebaalpeh. He's speaking Divrei Torah. A person, a human being of flesh and blood, is speaking Divrei Torah. And he spoke in 70 Lashonos. That's what Rashi tells us also in our Parsha. Hoyel Moshe Be'er is a Torah Azot. He taught in 70 Lashonos, right? We will teach the world. In other words, his Koach of Dibur was now able to expand and communicate in any language, right? Because Torah has the ability to light up the world of what he called of any person in the world, ultimately. Obviously not on the same level as lights up the world of the Jewish people. But Torah eventually is going to light up the world for everybody. Like it says about Mashiach, he's going to be Maka. And so we're Olam B'Shevet Piv. He will strike the world with the staff of his tongue. Right? He will teach them this is the truth. And no one will be able to deny what he's saying. So that's all we call that from the world of Torah. In the world of Mitzvos, this is what you do. Right? This is what you do. There's no, you know, this way, that way, I'll explain, it's pretty cool. You can put on tefillin in a different way. You know why? Because you feel differently, right? You can put on tefillin differently. In the world of Torah, we entertain all the havaminas. In the world of Torah, all questions are legitimate, but you have to be willing to accept the answers, right, etc. But all questions are legitimate, right? As long as they're questions that are being asked and not being stated. Nowadays, people state questions, they don't ask them, because they're not interested in the answers. Right, etc. But pretty cool. But that's the difference in Torah. Torah is Torah, mitzvahs are mitzvahs. So where is this flaw? Let's see where this flaw emanated from in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Dor Dea, right? The Dor Dea. He says, "Echa Esa Levadi Tor Hachem Masachem Rivchem." How can I bear your burden?
The flaw in what? The flaw in
the flaw. The flaw. There is a flaw here in the relationship with Moshe, which we'll see. Which would you call it? Which in spite of the fact that
how do you spell flaw?
FLAW. Sort of like claw. Oh. CLAW.
Flaw.
Flaw.
Sounds like a bird. Flaw.
Okay. Okay, so what do you call? What did he say over here? Hashem Elokeichem, hirbo eschem, v'inchem hayom kichuchvei hashamayim l'rov. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu says here in our parsha. Hashem Elokeichem, Hashem has made you great, right? And He has made you today like the stars of the heaven l'rov, and all their multitudes, all their numbers, and all their majesty and power, etc. So says Rabbeinu Bachye, v'inchem hayom kichuchvei hashamayim. Him shilom lekochavim leinian are ribui. V'zeu shomer larov. Right? There are so many, like what he called, like the stars. Ba'medrash, but he says, but really, we know that the Jewish people, it's true, there may be some tribes which are smaller in North Borneo, right, etc. Right? But it's not exactly what he called, there's any sort of
North Borneo in Australia?
Yeah, what he called North Australia. So what he called, we're not talking about really, we're so multitudinous. We're not so multitudinous. A lot more. What do you call it?
How are the tribes in Borneo related to the flaws and starting and Jewish people?
No fear. There's no fear. Hashem. Okay. So what do you say? So the Medrash, Ela Dvorim is Rabba. What do you call the Bino Bach? It says there's a Medrash here that tells us, explains a little more deeply what this idea of Kichochvei Hashamayim Larov is. Hinchem Hayom Kichochvei Hashamayim. You today are like the stars of the heaven, right? V'chani chani ischem hayom kechukvei Hashemayim, your encampment, right? This is Moshe Rabbeinu, right? As they were encamped, here he's speaking to them. It's the end of his term, is leading them. They're still encamped around the Mishkan, right? Reiko, you're like the stars of heaven. Kishem shehera kodesh baruch hu la'avram sheherel kol ha'mazolos makifim ha'shchina. Just as we recall, as we saw that Hashem showed Avram Avinu, that all of the, what he called, all of the signs of the zodiac, as it were, are, what he called, are encamped around the Shechina, around the Divine Presence. Remember, we last week, in Matzah Shabbos, remember we learned that the heavens are like the hands, Kaviyachol, right? The Gurariyeh taught us. The heavens are like the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are his instruments of implementing things. So too the Jewish people, Kach Degel Machane Yisrael Shlosh L'chol Ruach V'ruach Kichvoda Be'emtza. So too the Jewish people are now, as it were, they are the tools, they are the hands, Kav Yochav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here down on earth, as they encamp around the Shechina, around the Mishkan, around the Arna Kodesh, around the Kruvim. Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kishem Shamazos Mekifin Osi Uchvodi Be'emtza Kach Bonecho Asidim L'Yisrabos V'chonim Dgolim Dgolim Shinati Be'emtza. That's what it means over here, says Rabbeinu Bache, that what he called Moshe Rabbeinu is telling you, you are the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. He made you like the stars, right? He made you like the stars. In the when the signs, the constellations, the signs of the zodiac are the agents of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, implementation of his will upon the world, right? They are his agents, they are his shlichim, they are his emissaries, they are his hands. That's what that's called teva. That's called teva. It goes through the filter of the signs of the zodiac, etc., of the constellations. But he says, but when you, the Jewish people, like Kosh Baruch, has created another system, a system that conducts itself, as it were, in parallel, right? Where you can be the ones, the hands. You will be the ones who, as it were, you will be the puppet master, as it were, directing the marionette of the immense marionette of the of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's conduct of the stars. When you encamp around the Jewish people, you are like the stars themselves. That's Rabbeinu Bache says. Okay? Like the stars. And says what he called, and then afterwards, what does Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu say to the Jewish people? Hashem Elokei Avoseichem Yosef Alechem Kachem Elef Pami. Hashem should give this blessing to you a thousandfold. And he should bless you as he has said to you. Says the Meshech Chacham. What does that mean? Amar Aleichem Ba'esa Hilei Mor Lo Chal Avadisa Eseschem. Such an interesting thing. In Pasuk Tes, right? In our parak, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "I can't bear you." Lo chal levadi sa'eis eschem. I can't carry you by myself. And then the next blessing he says, Hashem lokechem yosef. What he called? Hashem should. He made you for stars, and Hashem should bless you a thousandfold in this union. He says, on the one hand, I can't bear you, right? I can't bear you. And pasuk tes, and then pasuk yun yunalav. He says, and he made you like the stars, and Hashem should bless you a thousandfold. Like what are we talking about? Says the Meshech Chochma, it's like a person, like, who he's got a family, right? And he's got a big family. And because of that, he's got a lot of tirdas, right? He's got to take care of this one, he's got to make sure that this one gets the proper education, and this one gets the proper this, and the next. So many different things, right? So many different things he's got to take care of. And when he caught it, and it's busy, right? There's no downtime. But he says, you know what? But it's all good. It's all good. It's very busy. It's really katatircha, right? But you know what? It's good. And therefore, I bless you, my children, that you should have exactly the same thing. And you say, what are you blessing me? I should have tircha? He says, that's life. And what he called it, it's good. That's good life, right? Being matriach in order to develop, right? God help to develop and give good things, that the family should grow. He says, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu means, says the Meshech Chachma. He says, first he tells him, I can't bear you, right? It's very hard. How can I possibly, I have the capacity, You are like the stars, right? The stars, not just Kodesh Baruch Hu, who's made you. You are the prime show of the universe. You are like the stars. You are the main thing. So what can I say? It's very difficult to bear something like that. In other words, I'm responsible for the greatest thing that has created the Jewish people, to carry Hashem's word, to carry Hashem's Torah to the far reaches of of man's experience, right? And on the other hand, that's a blessing I want to give to you, that you should be just like that. You should have this in every generation. Fine.
So that was
So that's what he called, that's their blessing. On the other hand, when we're raised up so high, if, in turn, we don't relate to it properly, when a person is blessed, his first reaction has to be humility. Right? In anything he's blessed with, in be it in wealth, be it in understanding, be it in whatever it happens to be, his, what he called, right? Who am I that I receive this? I have to remember from whom I received it. He has to be overwhelmed with humility. If he's overwhelmed with humility, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu must feel more upon him. Because when he's overwhelmed with humility, he knows I have to use it exactly for what it's made for. But if, however, right, this graciousness that he receives instead goes down the wrong tube, instead it feeds his ego, right, and makes him, as it were, puts him on top of a pedestal, then it's his undoing. So that's why the pasuk right after this is Echa asal levadi tochachem asachem rivchem, like we said, was the pasuk which is the beginning, right? In other words, there is the potential fly in the ointment, right? If you, as it were, receive your greatness, you're like the stars, O Jewish people. If you receive your greatness, yeah, in a way that's through the vessel of humility, then that's, there's nothing that can beat that. Then Hashem will just pour more and more and more upon you. But if, however, you don't use it properly, then what happens is your ego takes over, and that's the beginning of your downfall. And that's what he called, that's what Yeshaya said, if I remember correctly. What did he say? Right? He says, Banim gidalti v'romamti, v'hema pashubi. Right? I raised up my children, right? Banim gidalti romamti. I raised them up, right? I put them high in romamti. I made them lofty. Hema pashubi, they rebelled against me. Because when one receives greatness, one is standing at the crossroads of life. Does one accept with humility that which he's received and commit himself to what he called to, as it were, humbling himself before his Creator even more and more, based upon that which he's received, which he says, well, what do I deserve all this for? Right, etc. Or does he say, aha, look how big I am. And then that becomes also a downfall. Says what he called the Mor Vashamish. He says a fascinating thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mor Vashamish, that's through a Colonimus Kalman, Shapira from Krakow. He was a Talmud of Rav Ilan Elchad Zhensk.
More
is the light. More is the light. More Vashemesh. More Vashemesh. The light in the sun. He says, he talks about this idea of hachna. Of humility. Right? Humility. And he says, what he called that this, right, this concept of humility, he talks about the idea of how aron no se es no sub. The ark carries the ones who carry it. And he uses the concept, right? I'm going to synopsize it. He uses the concept that what he called one who places himself, right, in humility, right, before the aron. And as I should be bearing the aron. Right? And as I'm not looking at my greatness, I'm standing in humility before the aron in turn lifts me up. And he uses this concept with regard to learning from what he called from a Rebbe. If I see myself, if I come to what he called to the, he says, if you come to a tzaddik, let's say. Now he's talking in terms, in Hasidic jargon. You come to the tzaddik. And if you humble yourself before the tzaddik, because your hope is that what he called, the tzaddik is going to lift me up. So then what happens is, when you humble yourself before the tzaddik in turn, as it were, he sees, right, that you're yearning that he should pick you up. He looks at you and he says, what exquisite humility. How have I had that level of humility? And he in turn, it inspires him to greater humility, which lifts him up. And so in the process, the result is, he's lifted up and he lifts you up in the process. right? Ha'ara noseis nosav, right? In other words, those as it were who come to humble themselves before what he called the great teacher, before the great teacher, right? Before the great teacher, they humble themselves before him. What you tell me is the truth. I need you to pick me up. I need you to instruct me in the ways of what he called service of Hashem. When the tzaddik in turn sees that humility, that it adds to his own humility, he rises higher. And when he rises higher, he rises those who are holding on to him higher. Higher and higher and higher. And that was precisely the issue with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu told them, you're like the stars. So if they had then in turn said, wow, are we deserving of this? How can we possibly be deserving of all this? If they'd humbled themselves before Moshe Rabbeinu, then they would have risen higher and higher and higher. Because anybody called him Moshe Rabbeinu's relationship with would have been, it says, look how great they are, look how great, and that in turn would have made him even to more of an Eved. Hashem would have kept them more up and more up and more up and more up. But instead, what do they do? Torchachem, Masachem, Verivchem. We would have called, they would have called, oh, but we get Moshe Rabbeinu to paskin our decide our din the way we want it, because we understand as much as he does. Or what he called, or any time Moshe Rabbeinu came out late from his tent. You know why he must be in his tent? He's probably plotting against us. Why he leave early from his tent? Maybe what he called, there's some sort of issue at home that what he called that forced him to leave his tent. They're always what he called, always looking at what he called at deficiencies rather than recognizing greatness before they stood. So therefore, right? Therefore, the issue, right? The potential here of greatness, Eila Advarim, right? The person who gives himself over to Torah can speak words of Torah, right? Speak words of Torah, and then in turn, his actions, as it were, if he's completely humbled himself before, recall before Hashem, as he receives the Torah, then his actions, as it were, become so much greater. The person becomes full of himself, though. What happens is he ultimately winds up destroying, right? Destroying himself. Eicha. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, Eicha Salavadi Torchachem Masachem Verivchem.
He says that at the beginning of his humility.
Right. If we call
that
it, if the relationship with Moshe had been one of humility, rather than saying, "Oh, I know, we know what he, as much as he knows," right?
So then the whole receiving of Torah becomes flawed, right? In spite of the fact that Hashem is telling their greatness, right? Because if they accept their greatness properly, then their learning Torah wouldn't be flawed. Their learning Torah would be healthy. But then it's flawed, right? I know as much as he does. I know as much as he does. I don't have to listen to him. And him, he's got this flaw. He's got that flaw and that thing. So you have no teacher anymore. So in the end, what he calls the result is the Torah is flawed. And then in turn, the fulfillment then, of course, becomes flawed. Because from the Torah has to emanate the mitzvos.
You see, in all cause of error is humility.
Right, if a person were truly humble, right? Humble doesn't mean what you call humble doesn't mean, you know, I'm a piece of garbage. Humble means I recognize before whom I stand, and therefore my conduct is in sync with the recognition of my knowledge before whom I stand. So what happens is what you call is the result is the everything. Began to disintegrate.
What?
So they went, what he called, away from
what disintegrated,
right? Their Jewish persona began to disintegrate, because even when they were learning the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu, the flaw of their perception of their greatness was already damaged. Instead of taking the greatness and realizing, channel that now to greater humility, look what I've received. Instead, the greatness went to their heads, etc., and then I had complaints against Moshe, right? Yeah, I know as much as he does. I'm going to make sure the Din Torah comes out the way I see, because I understand anyway, right? And when Moshe comes out of his tent late, Rashi says, they said, he must be plotting against us. And when Moshe comes out of his tent early, there's probably no Shalom Bayit, so he's got to get out of there as fast as he can.
What's the second reason?
What?
What's the second reason?
What do you mean?
After humility, what else?
No, that's the core of the issue. That's the core of the issue. Eicha, 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 and we saw in parallel the first Medrash on Devarim tells us what he called that Torah, right? Torah is incredibly expansive, right? And mitzvahs have to be done what he called a certain way. But if the way you receive the Torah is incorrect,
right? So what happens is your fulfillment of mitzvahs gets messed up. So Moshe Rabbeinu recalled when there's the time of giving the Torah, since that had a flaw in it, that ultimately Yeshaya, who's responsible for the fulfillment of the mitzvahs, right? The flaw turns out is how you become, you came out like a zona.
Oh, that's very good. And Moshe takes responsibility for this?
I don't know if he's taking responsibility. He's telling him what it is, what he caught.
And what about all the errors he did in the desert? Is that lack of
humility? Those were recalled. Again, they recalled. That's the those considering, you know, they were really big people, etc. But Chora, all of errors lead recalled emanate, you know,
I
from
do what I want.
Right. So let's just record, continue in the Haftorah. Right, we still continue to have Torah. What does it say? The chunav nivacha. Let's what do you call? Let's involve ourselves in the process of tochacha here. Yomar Hashem, iu chata eichem kashanim kashela galbinu im yadimu katola katzemriyu. The pasuk says, right? If your sins will be like shanim, like crimson dyed threads, then they'll be as white as snow afterwards, after the cleansing process. If, however, they're as red as the red dye itself, they'll afterwards become as white as the fleece of a sheep. What do you call it? It says the, says the Neshe Chochma, right? Says the Meshe Chachma. Meshe Chachma says that record, he says the Yerushalmi brings down that the first part of the pasuk, im yuchatechem kashanim, like crimson dyed thread, they'll be white as snow. The different levels in Hilchos Tzaras, right in Tzaras, in the Goyim, right, you learn that, right, in the, what he calls the highest level of whiteness is snow. A lesser level of whiteness is what he called is the fleece of a sheep. He says the Yerushalmi says the first sin, the first, what do you call the first base of Mikdash, is being referred to in the first part of the pasuk. If your sins will be like shanim, like crimson dyed cloth, then afterwards, when you do tshuva, right, what do you call when you return, it will be as white as snow. If, however, the second part of the pasuk, which is if your sins are like the red dye itself, then they will only be as white as what do you call as the fleece of a sheep, as the fleece of a sheep. Okay. So what he called says the Yerushalmi. This is bias Rishon. The first part of the pasuk is talking about the first base of Mikdash. Second part of the pasuk is talking about the second base of Mikdash. The first base of Mikdash was destroyed because of Gila Raya, Shvicha Zama, and Avodah Zarah. It was there were terrible sins, but it hadn't penetrated what he called into their core. Right, they were doing sins, but it hadn't penetrated to the core. The second base of Mikdash was destroyed by baseless hatred, sinas chinam. They were penetrated into the core. Says the Meshe Chochma, that's the idea of the first Mikdash, right, being compared, its destruction, its sins of the first Mikdash being compared to crimson dyed thread. The thread itself is not in essence red, it just dyed red, right? The second base of Mikdash is compared to the dye itself. It's red, through and through. And that just shows that the what do you call it, that what happens is that as the what do you call it, as the flaw which started off with improper learning of what do you call acceptance of Torah, the Eicha, right, as Salavadi Torchachem Masachem Rivchem of what do you call it, of Moshe, the Moshe Rabbeinu describes, which led to Eicha Haisel Azona, that you become in your application, you become like a harlot, right, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You've totally, what do you call it, ruined your relationship with the Ribbono Shalom. So we see that, what do you call it, in the first Beis HaMikdash, right, the destruction descended to the point of where they were committed terrible sins, but I'm not taking away from the severity of those sins are very severe, but it hadn't penetrated to the depths of who they were. The second Beis HaMikdash, where it penetrated into what do you call baseless hatred for one another, it shows that it had descended, right? It descended into their mamash, into their kishkes. It descended into their deep inside themselves, and therefore that's what's called that's the greatest tragedy. And therefore, right? How white can you make it? Only as white as what he called as the fleece of a sheep, right? Because it's much more difficult to get it out. Something which is dyed one color, right? You can what he called you can cleanse it away. But something which is what he called something which is itself become the dye. How can you change the dye? It requires a revolution.
Like a tattoo.
Right. And finally, How does he end off the Haftorah of Ashiva Shoftayach Karushona Vyatzayach Kivat Chila? Right, I will return, like we say in our bracha of Ashiva Shoftenu Kivarishona Vyatzayach Kivat Chila. The nusach comes from what we say in Shimon Esrei in the bracha of Birchas Hamishpat. Ashiva Shoftenu, that nusach is based upon this pasuk in Shai. Ashiva Shoftayach Karushona, I will return what you call your judges. Right, and those who advise you kivat chila. Says the Avnei Eliyahu, right? Who are the shoftayach? The Avnei Eliyahu is of Avram ben Agra, right? He says this on his parish in Shmuel Esrei. Who are the shoftim and who are the yoatzim? The shoftim are the ones who implement, right? Like David, Shlomo, the kings who implement Hashem's law. The yoatzim are those who advise. They're like Moshe v'Aaron, right? Moshe v'Aaron. In other words, what do you call it? In order, as it were, to what he called to return to our previous greatness for the Gula to come, Hashem says, what I'll do for you is I will return your Shoftim and your Yoatzim. I will, what he called, first of all, bring back those who will make sure that you implement, right, the Torah in the world properly. That's what the Shoftim are about, making sure that you do what needs to be done in the world of mitzvos. And then, what do you call it, in addition, also I will give you your Yoatzim, like Moshe v'Aaron, who will teach you the way to understand Torah. Right? Moshe Aaron had two different ways of understanding Torah. But they're what you call, they're both necessary for completing the Jewish soul. Moshe Rabbeinu taught the approach to Torah of let it bore a hole in the mountain. That's the din, that's it. We don't stop, right? Aaron, on the other hand, taught the lesson of what he called a pshara, right? Right? Let's make an agreement between ourselves. What do you call pshara again? Stop. Pshara is what he called is when you get an intermediary between two people and they compromise. Aaron taught the derech of compromise. So you need both. What do you call? You need the purity of Torah on the one hand. That's Moshe Rabbeinu, and the concept of compromise as well. We actually says in Pirkei Avos, "Be Talmid of Sha'arna Koin." Be a Talmud. That should be that your Iker persona. Be Talmid of Sha'arna Koin. Your Iker persona should be like one of Arna Koin. Oev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, Oev Zabris Makarvan the Torah. Right. So, but we need both. We need both. So that we call them. We will rebuild the Jewish persona. The Gula will come. Bimherim v'Aminu. Amen.